Hey everybody, this episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Baseball 18. Yes, we have officially announced Out of the Park Baseball 18 coming on March 24th, 2017. But if you pre-order it today, you can pick it up for a 10% discount. Get it for just $35.99 and you get it a few days early. Early access on March 20th, 2017. Out of the Park Baseball 18 is the follow-up to the 2016 Metacritic PC Game of the Year. And we've added a whole bunch of cool new stuff to the game, including but not limited to, obviously, the 2017 opening day rosters across the majors and the minors. You got 8 international leagues in addition to the American major leagues and minor leagues. We've got a cool new challenge mode and online user profiles that let you compare and contrast with your friends and maybe your enemies what you've been accomplishing. There's an improved 3D mode with game highlight reels, which is really fun. TJ is going to love that. We've got tournaments and fall leagues, including the Arizona Fall Leagues. Plus, you can set up your own national or international tournaments. The Negro Leagues have been added, so some of those great players from the past, like Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson, you can use them for the first time ever. We've got improved AI for the rosters, for trades, and in-game AI been optimized and enhanced. There's a redesigned injury system and a whole bunch more stuff. Out of the Park Baseball 18. You can pre-order today, get 10% off the regular price of $39.99. You get it for just $35.99. Go to OOTP Developments today. Support indie sports games. Support the Press Row Podcast. Out of the Park Baseball 18.
So some of our listeners out there, at least those who are about our age or older, Rich, will recall some fond memories of a game called Mutant League Football that released in 1993 on Sega Genesis. Over 20 years have passed, and now its spiritual successor is in development, and its release really isn't that too far off in the future. It goes by the name Mutant Football League, and it's in the midst of a Kickstarter campaign right now. We've got the creator and lead designer of that original game, who's back working on the new one, Michael Mendheim. He's here on this episode of the Press Row Podcast. Michael, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Hey, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, so this is an exciting time, really, I think, for sports games. We've got some great, fantastic, big sports games out there, and we've also got independent developers coming back with, they're covering sports that maybe those other publishers and developers are ignoring to an extent, or hitting on the arcade side of things, which have gone largely extinct in the last decade. So could you describe for us first what Mutant Football League is, and then I'd love to know what made this the time in your mind to bring back the concept of a mutant football video game?
Okay, well, the original game we created in 1992, and it was released in 1993 by Electronic Arts on the Sega Genesis. And basically what the game was a kind of madcap football game that was played by monsters and mutants. And in the game, it was a very violent form of football. So you could win by high score, or you could also win by decimating the other team and causing a forfeit. Mm-hmm. And by decimating the other team, we mean by, you know, killing the other team. So when it came out, it caused a little bit of an uproar because of the violent content in the game. But it has a strong sense of humor, and the violence isn't like Mortal Kombat violence. It's more Looney Tunes variety violence. But it was a number one hit, and it spawned a television show and a sequel called Mutant League Hockey. So EA, after that game came out, and it was a very successful game, EA got into the real sports, making the most realistic sports games in the video game industry, and Mutant League Football just didn't fit into their game plan. So the product was killed. And EA abandoned the trademark about a decade ago, and the game lay dormant. It's always had a very strong fan base. The community has wanted us to bring the game back. So we decided, you know, the original game is the original game, and it was a top-down view in 2D, and it's, you know, it is what it is. We decided we were going to kind of re-envision this game and bring it back as like an NFL Blitz style game. So we kind of reimagined the whole product, and we wanted to definitely bring a different game for a new generation, but we wanted to capture the spirit and the humor of the old game. So the things that like our community loves best about the original game, I mean, that's still in this new game. I mean, it breathes it, and the people that have played it have told us, yeah, they feel that magic from the old game. But this is just a completely different game. It is on steroids compared to the older game.
So my first question to you is, from your perspective, what are the biggest changes to developing this kind of a game in 2017 than when you built the original, Mutant Football game?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing when you're building a game, I mean, number one is it just like the mechanics have to be fun, right? And that's what our whole game is about. It's just, it's simple and it's fun, but it has layers of depth within it. But from a technical standpoint, you know, certainly the graphics, the audio presentation, and then the online components, being able to play people in other countries, you know, online is just something that those earlier versions never had. So those are like the three main biggest challenges for us, to try and get that graphic quality up to par, and then our online component.
So then conversely, what's the most similar or most familiar part of developing this kind of a game in 2017 to when you were doing what you were doing back in the late 80s and early 90s?
It's got to be my love for it, right? The passion and the love I have for this game, because football is my favorite game. I love watching football. I love football. But we just kind of take football to a completely absurd level. And then we throw in, you know, some juvenile humor. So it's a very fun, arcadey football game that is best played with some friends on the living room couch over a few beers. That's like the best way to play Mutant Football League. There's a lot of humor and a lot of smack talk that takes place when you get a couple friends playing the game together, and they're trying to kill your star quarterback and you're trying to kill theirs. And whoever does succeed that has a distinct advantage over the other guy. Some people play the game by trying to get the high score, while other people prefer to slowly decimate your team so you don't have enough players to continue the game and you have to forfeit. It's a total game of mayhem and absurdity, but it will for sure make you laugh. And it'll for sure, if you're playing with another friend, make you scream at times.
So you've been working on bringing Mutant Football League back for a little while. I know, I believe it was 2013, you had a Kickstarter. That one came up short. So I'm curious, what has changed since then? I think you probably learned a lot from that experience and maybe changed course a bit with development. So what did you change, and how has that really resonated now? Because we see that the Kickstarter now that's currently running for the game has been so successful. It cruised past its initial goal after just a couple days.
Well, we actually hit our goal on Super Bowl Sunday as the New England Patriots took the game into overtime. So that was just really ironic. That first Kickstarter campaign, I'm still licking my wounds from it, to be honest with you. I mean, you guys are being very nice. It wasn't successful. It was actually a disaster. And we originally were pitching a mobile game, And we had no technology to show. It was basically concept art. And the direction of the game was much more cartoony. And the MFL community, in no uncertain terms, let me know that was not the game they wanted, and it was completely the wrong direction. I could have pulled the Kickstarter campaign, but I decided now I was going to take my lumps. So I sat through, you know, 30 agonizing days and talking to people who loved the game but apparently hated me at that time. And after the campaign, you know, after a little bit of rolling into my fetal position and recovering from the disaster that it was, I started reaching out to the community, you know, to probably the people that, you know, hated the campaign the most, and spent about 6 months just talking and listening and taking notes. And then I formed a company with a friend of mine who is a brilliant engineer in Kiev, and he rounded up a bunch of guys, and it was affordable for us, and we started to do prototypes of the game in Kiev, Ukraine. And we would show incrementally, you know, parts of the game to like the fan base, and they would give us feedback on it. And for like 2.5 years, that's kind of how we built it. When we came to Kickstarter this time, we basically, our game is pre-alpha, but it's playable and it's fun. And I've been showing it at game shows and letting people play it. We literally put the game that's not done in people's hands. Because if you just pledge $1 on our Kickstarter campaign, you get our sneak preview, which is, it's not a demo. It's a build, but it's, you know, you get to play a half and you can test drive the game and you can, you know, feel the mechanics. And it was a very risky, ballsy move on our part because it could have just as easily blown up in our face. But it was very successful, and like people like the game and they're having a lot of fun with it, even though it's a little, you know, preview, but they get it and they like where the game's going. They like the art direction on the game. They like the play mechanics, and it's making them laugh. So that worked out for us. And yeah, the campaign's been going great. But I mean, a lot of that is the engineering team. And a lot of it is our MFL community for telling me, you know, this is what we want. Go build this. And that's what I did.
I believe, you know, I've been following Kickstarter campaigns since kind of the beginning of that. I've been covering sports games for well over a decade now. And I think, at least off the top of my head, I think this might be the first sports game that's been successful on a Kickstarter. So I think that says a lot about the interest that's out there and kind of the uniqueness of the project itself.
And the thing that's kind of cool is because I had you know, some of the guys that are at Kickstarter write me, and they've been incredibly nice. But usually on that $1 tier, like a lot of projects go a virtual hug for $1, you know, you don't get anything.
Right.
And we actually put the preview game in people's hands for $1 so they could actually check it out. And I don't think that's ever been done on Kickstarter, but it was a pretty original way to go. It was totally, you know, ballsy because we just don't have a lot of money and we don't have a lot of people. So the testing on it was limited, and it's very scary when you don't have a, you know, proper QA process on your game, and then you just put it out there. It's like, you know, going out on stage naked. But we did it, and it held up. And, you know, it's pre-alpha, so the game's going to get a lot better by the time we're done. But it was a leap of faith, and it worked out for us.
So audiences today, the video game audiences today, 2017, are much different than they were in 1992, 1993. I mean, for some, you know, some people playing video games today, this is their fourth or fifth generation of consoles that they have been playing on. And people that spend money on games expect and demand tremendous value for their dollar. So what are the things that you're doing, recognizing this, to ensure that the people who spend their money on Mutant Football League will get that value for their dollar?
Okay, well, I mean, I think that's a great question. So, well, the first thing is we're not charging $60 for our product, right? We're charging $25. So our product is not Madden. So it's not going to have the features that Madden does. But what it will do is you can play it with your friends and not have to spend 20 minutes hooking it up. And we will take you away and make you laugh for an hour with some outrageous fun and just incredible humor. But as far as features go, we have a variety of different character species in the game. We've got skeletons, we've got orcs, we've got robots. We're going to be adding two other characters that our community right now is debating on what they should be. We are planning to have a season mode in the game, so you'll be able to play a season. Because of how we're doing our development strategy, this isn't going to be a one-off. Like, we're going to release the game, and it may not have every bell and whistle when we release it. But the plan is, over time, is to allow people to kind of create their own teams and then take those teams and compete against other teams that are custom-made teams and kind of go into the esports market. But that's a longer-term strategy for us, but that is kind of the ultimate of what everybody wants and where this game needs to go. And so we're going to release the first version of the game in October on PC and then early winter 2018 on console systems. And shortly thereafter, we're going to be providing expansion packs that are going to allow like the users to go ahead and customize their own teams and whatnot. Since we are funding this game ourselves out of our own pockets and we're not aligned with any publishers right now, it's simply how we have to do it because, we have to release the game so we can make some money so we can continue to build on the game.
I mentioned at the top of the show, this is in the sports gaming genre, it's pretty dominated by licensed properties. So what kind of challenges is that do you have to face because of that as an original concept type of game? But also, what freedoms does that give you that maybe you don't see coming out of developers that are more definitely restricted by league rules and image issues?
Right. I mean, that's the whole point of our game is we can be as outrageous as we want. And we've actually walked away from a publisher because they've wanted to tone down the game. The beauty of Mutant Football League is we get to parody everything. So we get to parody just the audacity of professional sports. We can parody, the latest sports stories. We can have players walk up to the line of scrimmage and fart, and we do that. I mean, we could do whatever we want. We just want to make you and the violence level. I mean, we allow our players, we have plays called Dirty Tricks, and these are plays that you get to use sporadically during the game. And once you use them, they're gone. But for instance, some of the dirty tricks are like chainsaw. So it's a running play and your running back has a chainsaw and he slices and dices his way through the defense, trying to kill as many guys as he can on his way to scoring a touchdown. Mm. We allow you to bribe the ref. Of course, when once the ref is bribed, they start making calls in your favor. So then the team can pick a dirty trick play called ref attack, where they kill the ref and then a new ref comes out and then, you strategically decide when do I want to bribe the ref? Mm-hmm. you know, you can kill the ref as many times as you want to. It's just you get a penalty for killing the ref. And then, of course, we have late hits after every play, so you can take out players after the whistle blows. You have like a 3-second late hit window where you can take some extra shots. We can go after the quarterbacks. We make fun of the quarterbacks. We make fun of the personalities in professional sports and egos and all of that stuff. We can do whatever we want because we don't have real teams and we don't have real players. We have kind of Family Guy, Simpson-style parody going on about professional sports. So we go to town.
So you've talked a lot about your community and the folks that are giving you feedback. So based upon all of that, and you mentioned some of this, but I want to sort of get into a little bit more of the details with what you can. What are the most important core features of Mutant League that you know you have to get just right? And what has your research indicated that the market hopes for and expects for from a modern take on Mutant Football League?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously the most important thing is it's got to be a sound football game. And the running between the tackles has to feel right. The defense, being able to play good defense and deflect balls and rushing the quarterback. Like, you just need a very good, fun, solid foundation of a football game. That's first and foremost. But within that, there's the balancing of the player health, which is very important, because that's kind of like the whole point of the game is trying to kill the other team's players. And then probably the most important, you know, at the end of the day is it's a violent, fun game, but it's also, we've got a lot of comedy and humor. And I think that's kind of what sets us apart from any other sports game is, you know, we're trying to make people laugh. We're trying to make people spit out their beer when they're playing. And, you know, we want to be kind of appeal to college level crowds. And so, you know, we have some young writers help in write the content for the game, some awesome comedians. We've brought in some old school guys, you know, some icons like Tim Kitzrow, who was NBA Jam announcer work. I mean, Tim is like a comedic genius, that guy. He's just brilliant. So we have a little bit of old and a little bit of new, and we mix it up, and then we just have a fast-paced action game. And you know, it is resonating with fans of the original game, but what's even better than that is like a new generation of kids that are like 16, they're digging it at shows like PAX. And, you know, what's not to like? They have their teams that they can relate to from the cities they can relate to. We parody players. And then you get chainsaws and you're playing with monsters. So, you know, they like it. The younger generation and the older fans like it too. And they want to, like, the dads want gore levels and swearing options to turn those off so they can play with their kids. And of course, we listen to what our community says. So we're going to have all those options in the game for them.
Yeah, you mentioned that right there. So naturally, I wanted to ask about engaging with fans, because in these days you have social media where you can get instant feedback. You can the good and the bad, but also the ability to communicate through there. And you have the Kickstarter. You're communicating pretty, actually, really well through there with consistent updates and interacting with people who have backed the game. So I'm curious. Other than the Kickstarter, you know, how are you looking at engaging with fans and beyond that, kind of reaching people who aren't familiar with the original, who may not really have those ties or know what the game's all about?
Well, I mean, we certainly stay in touch with our community, and we put the game in our community's hands, and they help us test it. And we have an online forum where they can provide feedback to us. So they are actively involved in naming players, naming teams, coming up with ideas, playing the game, telling us what they like or don't like about it. Reaching the new markets, I think it's more about putting the games in like the influencers' hands, like the guys on Twitch and the YouTubers. Mm-hmm. So we've had some remarkable success with some very well-known YouTubers and Twitch streamers playing the game. And it's just a different type of game, right? It's an online party, have a few beers type of game, and it's a great diversion. And they are, I mean, it's just ridiculous when you are just watching the game to see what's going on, because you can have three or four turnovers in one play. We've got buzzsaws that go across the field that can cut guys in half. We've got landmines that you can step on and blow up. You can fall off the edge of a space field. I mean, it's just crazy, and it's a lot of fun to watch. So the influencers, the more they play the game, the more it resonates like with that younger generation, because they're not necessarily watching television or reading game magazines and getting their information there. They are watching YouTube, and they're on Twitch TV. And that's how they're getting their information. And, you know, thank God, like, a lot of these guys like our game.
Yeah, you couldn't be more right. I mean, the way to get your game marketed in 2017 is through YouTube and Twitch. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So to sort of piggyback on that, how much or how little does the current market for successful games, and I'm talking about games as a platform like Overwatch, which is probably the most successful launch in the last couple of years, yep, or League of Legends, right? These games as a platform, or things like the Ultimate Team style modes, which, as Brian and I have talked about many times, have really in some ways saved sports games and allowed them to continue and be successful, as well as, you know, the influence of or the, you know, the always online modes and features of most new games. How does all of that influence your design plans and post-release support for Mutant Football League?
Well, I think it's all going to come down to the kind of tournament mode that we have envisioned. And that's basically you create a sandbox, right? And you let people kind of name their own players, decide what colors they want for their team, upload custom logos, name their team, create their own plays. It's a very different kind of mental state when you're doing that. It's a very creative, fun, you know, you're kind of in a zen mode when you're creating this. But then when you take it and you go play against another person's team, it's like, you know, just crazy mayhem, you know, World Wrestling Federation mayhem style of play. And it's fast and frenetic. And it takes your brain in a completely different place than it was when you were creating these things. And I think that's really where it is. And what we will do is everybody will get the same number of rating points, right? So whatever that number is, say it's 2,500 rating points, and how you distribute that amongst your team is up to you. You can put a lot of rating points and like Uber players, or you can have like an awesome defense, not so good offense. You can decide to balance it out. So everybody kind of is even, but it's how you use your creativity to make the difference along with your, you know, your ability to play the game well, that's going to separate, you know, being a champion from not being a champion. And I think by allowing players to have that kind of creative freedom, you know, I think that's going to be pretty awesome.
The last question that I have for you is, how do you plan on awareness, right? I mean, there's so many different, not only are there so many different games competing for attention, but there, there's just so much noise in the market for people that enjoy digital experiences, right? You've got not just games, but you've got, you know, Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu and so many different options for people spending money. And there's just more and more and more every single day. And you're going PC, which means you're probably going to be on Steam, you know, which is its own massive world and constant update. Like, so what are you, how are you planning on trying to get the word out to the people that you want to target about this game and give them the opportunity to hear about it and play it?
Yeah, and it's tough, right? Because we're not a big publisher. We don't have a lot of money. Most of it has been word of mouth, and most of it has been Twitch guys as well as YouTubers. And, you know, hopefully we can expand upon that. But I think at the end of the day, we've got a niche market in the video game sector, which used to be filled by Midway, NBA Jam, NFL Blitz. Midway's gone. There are very few easy-to-play arcade sports games on the market. So we're just kind of looking at that niche space, which is, you know, a half of a percent of what a Madden makes. But for us, that's going to be good enough, and we'll expand on it if we could get there. And, you know, it's just tough, right? Because we are self-funding the game. We're a small indie studio, and we have limited resources for marketing and PR. So most of that is just kind of guerrilla marketing and putting the game into as many people's hands as we can and then letting them experience the fun.
All right, Michael, all right. We really appreciate you taking the time to come on and discuss Mutant Football League. You want to make a final pitch here at the end?
Well, first, let me thank both of you. I appreciate it. All the exposure we can get is helpful. Yeah, I mean, like, if any of this sounds interesting to anybody listening, please go to our Kickstarter. It's Mutant Football League. And go check the game out for $1. You can play the game. You can see if it's fun. You can see if it's to your taste. And if it is, please support us. We appreciate it. People can also go to our Facebook page, like us, check out the product on Facebook. We're very friendly. We, you know, we listen to our community, and we're just trying to build it and grow it. But if you like playing party games with your friends, you like to laugh, you want to have a frenetic experience like none other, go ahead and check out Mutant Football League.